have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
Amid fields of clover, 'twas just a little over 100 years ago. A handful of strangers, they faced many dangers to make their country grow. It's now quite a nation with wondrous population and free from every king. It's your land, it's my land, a prey to or die land, and that's just why I sing. America, I love you. You're like a sweetheart of mine. From ocean to ocean, for you my devotion is tucking each boundary line. Just like a little baby climbing its mother's knee. America, I love you, and there's 100 million others like me. America, I love you. You're like a sweetheart of mine. From ocean to ocean, for you my devotion is touching its boundary line. Just like a little baby climbing its mother's knee. America, I love you, and there's 100 million others like me. America, I love you, and there's 100 million others like me.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces and wishing everybody a happy 4th of July season. We live in a great country, and I know we're all so thankful that we do. Tonight, we have two great mysteries for you. We begin with an episode of The Whistler from World War II. If you have any questions for me, please don't hesitate to write to Bruce at RadioMasterpieces.com. Again, just have a fantastic, wonderful holiday season. Thank you so much for tuning in. And now, let's enjoy our programs.
Thomas Northcott was a very busy man, a marine architect, a wealthy shipbuilder. And by the summer of 1940, he found himself working harder than ever and longer hours. He became the victim of severe headaches. So finally, he visited his friend and physician, Dr. John Elston.
The pain isn't constant, you say, Tom?
No, it comes and goes. But when it strikes, it's almost unbearable.
Been working unusually long hours, haven't you?
Yes. All day and for the past 6 months till midnight. What do you think is wrong with me?
Well, when a man passes 40, he's subject to a lot more things than when he's younger.
Yes, but what is wrong with me?
Pretty exacting work, yours.
Why don't you tell me? I can't afford to spend the day here.
Oh, don't get excited. Calm down, I'll tell you. But you won't like to hear it.
What? You don't think I'm losing my mind?
I didn't say that.
But that's what you mean.
Please, Tom.
That's ridiculous. Why, I've known all about my family for 200 years back. Not a trace of insanity in one of them.
I said nothing about insanity.
Well, then, what are you talking about?
It is possible, however, to throw yourself completely off balance by overwork. Worry, mental strain.
I know.
Your nerves are shot to pieces. What does Elizabeth think about your working like this?
I don't know. What can she say? It's got to be done.
Well, Tom, you're going to let someone else do it for a while.
What?
I mean it. You're headed for a nervous breakdown. And something else.
What else?
Blindness.
Good heavens.
You have an eye condition which has become aggravated by environment.
What can be done about it?
Stop work immediately, rest. Get outdoors, get away.
For how long?
Month at least, maybe longer. Put that yacht you built to some use. It's been tied up for over a year.
Are you sure about all this?
Positive.
All right, John. I've no choice in the matter. I'll drop in again in a few days.
Of course. Goodbye, Tom.
So Tom, completely flabbergasted, goes back to his office and tries to finish some plans and specifications. But he cannot keep his mind on the work, so he goes home early.
Well, good evening, Mr. Northcote.
Good evening, Billings.
This is most unusual. I mean, we didn't expect you for dinner.
I know, I didn't feel so well this afternoon.
I'm sorry, sir.
Isn't Elizabeth having dinner here?
No, sir. Mrs. Northcote hasn't had dinner in for several weeks.
I didn't know that.
She's been going out every evening.
Well, I don't want much. Something light.
Very good, sir. Oh, there's a letter for you in the library.
A letter?
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Billings. Letter, eh? Certainly not a business letter. No return address. If your wife, Elizabeth, doesn't stay away from a certain man, there's going to be a scandal in this town that you won't like. A friend. Good heavens. Stay away from a certain man. Billings. Billings!
Yes, Mr. Northcote?
Do you know where Mrs. Northcote has gone?
No.
Did she say who she was to meet?
No, she never does.
Just goes out for the evening?
Oh, sometimes in the afternoon as well.
I see.
You look a bit pale, sir. Shall I call Dr. Elson?
No, Billings, I don't think he could be of much help at the moment. I'll be all right. Good night.
Tom moves slowly up the stairs to his room and goes to bed. He has difficulty falling asleep. He stares into the darkness, and through his mind runs the phrase, a certain man, a certain man. But what man? Finally, he drops off to sleep. He rises early and, without seeing Elizabeth, goes to the office to wind up his affairs. Then arrives home early again. But Elizabeth is not there. Elizabeth is sitting in a cocktail lounge with Charles Carroll, her attorney.
I never see Tom anymore. He leaves early, comes in late. Business, business, business. I just can't go on like this. It's driving me mad.
You're no different from a lot of women in this country. Production has speeded up, and there's nothing a man can do about it.
But if Tom loved me, he could find a little time to spend with me.
You still love Tom?
I did, but his indifference has made me cold as a cucumber.
Yes, but you have everything. Money, position. Why throw it away? This condition may only be temporary.
I can't understand you, Charles. We went through puppy love together. Went through school together. Then we drifted apart, and I met Tom.
Why can't you understand me?
Because for 3 weeks now, and I've seen you almost every day, you, of all people, have been trying to talk me out of divorcing Tom.
That's right.
But do you want me to go on like this?
I want you to be sure, Elizabeth.
I am sure. Are you afraid you'll lose some business if I divorce Tom with you as my attorney?
Elizabeth, you know I'm terribly fond of you. I always have been and always will be. Your happiness means a great deal to me. That's why I don't want you to take this step until we're sure that you'll not be sorry later.
You're the one who isn't sure.
Darling, it's for your own good. Please wait.
All right, Charles. If that's the way you feel, I'll wait.
Good.
Can you drop me off at my place?
Yes, I can. But...
But what?
Well, look, Elizabeth, I'm going to be very busy for the next 2 or 3 days. And we've talked over this situation for weeks, so suppose you think on it for a while and make up your own mind. And call me.
Why, of course, John. I have been taking a lot of your time lately. I'm sorry.
It's all right, darling. Come along.
Charles takes Elizabeth home and leaves her at the door. Tom Northcote is in the library waiting, waiting for Elizabeth.
Tom? What on earth are you doing home so early? I'm certainly surprised.
Are you?
What's happened?
What did you do this afternoon?
The same thing I do every afternoon and every evening. Try to kill time.
I suppose it has been rather boring lately, since I've had to spend so much time at the plant.
Yes, it has.
Been playing bridge a lot, have you?
Yes. Bridge and parties. Oh, there are a number of things one can do when one has to.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth, but this extra heavy load of business is not of my own making. I thought you would understand.
I understand that you work hard, that you're very busy. But even when you're here, you seem to be completely unaware of my presence. You come in late, go to your room without a word, get up with the birds, and leave without a word.
I wasn't aware of that. But I suppose it's true.
I was able to stand it at first. And then I became horribly lonely. So lonely, I couldn't bear this house another moment. So I started going out here and there.
That should have helped?
For a while. You had changed, Tom. I did attribute it to business, but when you changed so completely, became so indifferent toward me, I suddenly realized that you no longer loved me. And then I changed.
You changed?
Yes. Finding some way to occupy my time is no longer the difficulty.
No. What is the difficulty?
My difficulty is forcing myself to come back to this empty shell each night.
You think I don't care for you?
What else could I think?
And you're saying you've lost your affection for me?
Yes.
And you found someone who is more attentive?
I have many friends whose company is most pleasant.
A man?
Friends. Men and women. Friends who understand.
Elizabeth, they don't understand. And you don't understand. In another moment, you'll be telling me you want to leave me.
I do. I can't stay here any longer.
Then we'll both leave, together.
What?
This is all a complete misunderstanding, Elizabeth. We love each other, regardless of what you think. This can be remedied very easily.
No,
please,
Tom.
Please listen to me. I need your help.
Help? What do you mean?
For some time now, I've been ill. I've said nothing about it, but it's grown worse. The pain has increased.
Pain?
Yes, in my head. My eyes. Flashes of light. I went to see Dr. Elston.
John.
Yes, Dr. Elston. He told me that I must quit work, take a complete rest, or go blind.
Blind? Oh, Tom, how awful.
We'll take the yacht, Elizabeth. A long cruise. It'll save my sight and it'll help us, too. We can pick up where we apparently left off.
But Tom...
Please, Elizabeth. I need you.
All right, Tom. I'll go.
We can leave in a few days. And we needn't go alone. If you prefer, we can have some guests along. Oh, would that help?
Yes. Yes, I believe it would.
Very well. Who would you like? You select someone you'd like to have along, and I'll select someone. People we both know.
Yes. Well, I'd like to have...
Yes?
Dr. Elston.
John? You'd like to have him along?
Very much. He's charming company, and besides, he may prove valuable.
Then it's John Elston. I'll ask him tomorrow. And say, how about Charles Carroll? Always liked Charlie. And Marge Durant. They're still engaged, aren't they?
Why, I don't know.
By George, Elizabeth, I'm going to enjoy this trip. I feel better already. I wonder if the doctor will join us.
I'm sure he will.
Well, if he turns me down, I'll let you talk to him. I'm sure you can persuade him.
Next day, Tom visits the doctor, John Elston, and after some persuasion, the doctor accepts the invitation. Then Tom runs into Marge Durant in the doctor's waiting room.
Well, hello there, Marge. How are you?
All right.
Haven't seen you or Charlie in some time. How is Charlie?
Oh, all right, I guess.
You guess? Haven't you seen him? Don't tell me you two have broken off your engagement.
Oh, no, not officially. Charles has been exceptionally busy for several weeks.
Well, you mustn't be too hard on us men in times like these. We don't mean to be neglectful.
No.
I'm taking a cruise in the old yacht. Going to leave in a few days. We've gone several weeks. How would you like to join us?
Us?
Yes. Elizabeth and me. And Dr. Elston. He's just accepted.
Well, I'd love to go.
We all need to get away from things now and then.
We certainly do, but I don't...
Oh, I've already asked Charlie. And he said he'd love to go, if I could persuade you to go.
Charles said that?
He did. So you'll have a chance to see him every day.
Well, I'll be tickled to death to join you.
Good. The party's complete. Come aboard Saturday night. We'll sail early in the morning. See you later, Marge.
Now it is Saturday evening, the eve of departure. After an early dinner, Tom, suffering from severe head pains, goes to the library where he dozes in an armchair.
Tom, wake up.
Huh? What? Oh, Elizabeth. I must have had quite a nap. Well, the pains are gone. I'm glad of that.
It's 8:30. We better leave for the yacht.
8:30? Good heavens. Turn on the lights, Elizabeth.
What?
Push the switch.
Tom.
What's wrong, Elizabeth?
Tom, the lights are on.
What? Elizabeth.
Yes, I just turned them on.
Good Lord. It happened.
Oh, Tom, I'm terribly sorry. Shall I call the doctor?
No. Wait.
We better cancel the trip.
No, please. I'd rather go on. And I'd rather we didn't say anything about this. I'm sure it'll pass. We'll go ahead. And I'll bluff it through for a while. You'll help me. Won't you, Elizabeth?
Yes, Tom. I'll help you.
Tom notifies his skipper that he'll be late in coming aboard. Then when he is sure his guests on the yacht have retired, he and Elizabeth arrive, and he goes to his cabin. Next morning, the guests lounge in the sun on the after deck. Tom appears and moves along the deck to the stern, stops, and leaning against the rail, lights his pipe.
Morning, everybody. Wonderful day, isn't it?
Yeah, clear as crystal.
Where are we going?
Does it matter, Marge? This is a cruise to nowhere. The less we know about where we're going, the bigger surprise we get when we get there.
Don't you know?
No, my skipper does. Makes it more interesting, don't you think, Doug?
I suppose so.
That was Elizabeth's idea. Wasn't it?
Are you asking us?
Oh, I thought Elizabeth... That is, I thought she told you.
It's a swell idea, just the same. Eh, Charles?
Yeah, it's all right with me.
Hope the weather stays like this.
Yes, I was wondering about those dark clouds gathering off there. They mean anything, Tom?
Oh, yes. Well, maybe. Maybe not.
Pretty black, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Where are you looking? Over here, Tom, on the port side.
Huh? Oh, those. Well, they are dark, but we may see them for days and never contact them.
I hope you're right. I'm not much of a sailor.
No?
How about you, Elizabeth?
Oh, good morning, dear. Sleep well? I've had the best rest in years. You look lovely this morning.
Tom, what's wrong with you?
What do you mean?
Good morning, folks. Sorry to be such a sleepy head, but I was dead tired. Well, how do you feel, Tom?
Why, I... Confound it, my best pipe.
I'll get it.
Wait a minute. Tom can get it. It's right at his feet.
John.
Here it is, Tom. When did this happen?
Last evening.
You weren't going to tell me. I'm to bluff it through.
Yes. You knew it was going to happen this soon, but you said if I took a rest, it'd be all right.
I didn't want to alarm you. I hoped my diagnosis was wrong.
But you knew it wasn't. I'm sorry. Tell Captain Baker I want to see him in my cabin. Please forget all this and try to enjoy yourselves.
I'll help you to your cabin, Tom.
No, thanks, Charlie. I designed this ship. I built it. I know every corner and cranny.
What a rotten shame.
Poor Tom. Poor fellow.
That evening after dinner, Elizabeth visits Dr. Elston in his cabin. A half hour later, Tom gropes his way along the rolling deck toward the doctor's room. Elizabeth has just left.
Did you say come in, Doctor? I couldn't quite hear. Storm coming up.
Yes, of course. Come in, Tom.
I wanted to talk with you, John, before I turned in.
Certainly. Sit down, Tom.
Yes. Here we are. Not a bad storm. Not bad at all. This'll blow over.
Yes, I suppose so.
That's strange. That odor. You don't smoke, do you, John?
Well, once in a while. Why?
I smell a strong odor of tobacco. The same peculiar aromatic blend Elizabeth uses.
Well, that's quite possible. Elizabeth was just here.
Really? Poor girl. She's terribly upset about me. Came to talk over my condition?
Yes, she's quite worried.
I can imagine. And you're worried, too. Aren't you, John?
Well, I'm concerned.
Well, this is a terrible thing. One can't possibly realize how terrifying it is till it happens to him.
I think I can fully appreciate it, Tom.
Can you? I wonder.
Think you'd better turn in.
Well, perhaps you're right. I should steel myself against sympathy. Sympathy of others and sympathy for myself. Poor Elizabeth. I feel sorriest for her. What a fate. To be tied down to a blind man for the rest of her life.
She'll understand. I'll look after Elizabeth.
Will you, John? That's awfully good of you. I appreciate that.
Better run along to bed, Tom. Get all the rest you can.
Yes. Yes, of course. Good night, John.
Good night.
The next evening, after dinner, Elizabeth is in her cabin. Elizabeth feigned seasickness and did not appear. So Charlie Carroll goes to her room.
You're not seasick, Elizabeth. You and I have sailed rougher water than these.
But I don't want anything to eat, Charles.
Now, please, darling, you can't go on like this. You've got to pull yourself together.
I know. But what am I going to do? I'm bewildered. A few days ago, I was positive he didn't love me and I didn't love him. Now this happens and everything has changed.
How do you mean?
Well, now I'm sorry for him. And the indifference has changed to something else.
Changed to pity?
Perhaps that's it.
You mean you don't want to divorce him now?
I don't see how I could.
Afraid of what people would say?
Oh, no. But somehow it just doesn't seem right. Now Tom's different. Maybe it took this darkness to show him the light. I mean... Oh, I don't know what I mean.
No. Elizabeth. Come on, darling, get a hold of yourself.
Oh, Charles. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything, darling. Everything will turn out all right. I know what to do.
Charles, you're a darling. I don't know what I'd have done without you all these long weeks.
Now, just take it easy.
Well, take a look at that, Doctor. We certainly ought to apologize, but we were stricken dumb.
Marge, what are you talking about?
Oh, dear, the sweet little innocents. You give them a lecture on life, Doctor.
Now, wait a minute, Marge.
For 3 weeks, Charles has been busy. And this is why. What a nice way to be busy.
Marge, please. You're jumping to conclusions.
Jumping? Are you kidding? Charles has been avoiding me for 3 weeks, and there's the reason in all her glory.
Marge, you're out of your mind. You can't believe such a thing.
Of course not.
Not unless I heard it, and I heard it and saw it. Tom would just love to hear about this.
Marge, you mustn't.
No. Watch me. Just watch me.
Don't worry, Elizabeth. I'll stop her.
What is it, Doctor? Come in.
Tom, I want to talk to you.
What do you want, Doctor?
I want you to turn the ship around and go home.
Oh, but that's silly. You needn't worry about me.
I think you should turn around.
What are you so upset about?
I insist that you take the ship back.
You seem frightened, Doctor. What do you anticipate?
An unpleasant situation exists aboard the ship.
What?
I'd rather not say.
But I don't want to return. Unless you can give me a good reason. Can you?
I'd rather not say.
You're afraid of me, aren't you?
Certainly not.
I know what's troubling you. You know that I know about you. You and Elizabeth.
What? Why, you're crazy.
You and my wife have been seeing each other for weeks and weeks. You realize now that I know the truth. You're afraid that I might do something drastic. That I might kill you.
Such nonsense. Wait a minute. Is that why you were so insistent that I come on the trip?
Maybe.
I don't know where you got such an idea, but you're all mixed up. If she's been seeing anybody, it hasn't been me.
Oh, come now.
I didn't want to tell what I know, but I see now that I'll have to. You come with me to Elizabeth.
Elizabeth? You expect me to believe that she'll tell the truth?
You come along just the same.
Let's wait till morning. Pretty rough weather tonight. Waves are breaking clear over the decks.
No, I don't want to wait till morning. Now.
Very well, Doctor. If you insist.
I'll lead the way.
Doctor, wouldn't want you to get washed over the side. That'd be too bad.
We'll go around by the stern, up the other side. Look out, here comes a big one. Hang on.
Doctor, where are you? Doctor!
I've got him, Mr. Northcutt. He almost went over.
Is he? All right, Captain.
He got a deep wound in the back of his head.
Must have struck the opposite rail when the wave hit.
I think he's dead, Northcutt.
Dead? Good Lord.
He's dead, all right. I'll get him off the deck before we hit another big one. Better get back to your quarters, Mr. Northcutt. Hang on to the rail.
Elizabeth, are you here?
Yes, Tom. What's wrong?
Something terrible has happened. An accident.
An accident? What is it?
It's Dr. Elston. He's dead.
Dead? What are you saying?
He was coming along the after deck, and a big wave came over and washed him against the opposite side. Struck his head. The captain says he's dead. Well, why don't you say something? Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Charlie, I didn't know you were here.
She's fainted.
Fainted? Really? Well, that's strange.
Elizabeth, you're all right, darling. Here, drink this.
John. John. Oh, John.
Oh, here you are, Tom. You're just the one I wanted to see.
Yes, Marge.
What's the matter with her?
She fainted when I informed her that Dr. Elston had been killed.
Doctor, what happened?
A big wave tossed him across the deck. He struck his head on the opposite rail.
Oh, I'm dreadful.
Poor John. Let's turn back. I can't go on.
And why can't you go on?
I just can't. Please turn back.
That's ridiculous. We'll have to bury him at sea, of course, but why shouldn't we go on?
Are you out of your mind?
No. Why are you so terribly upset about the doctor? Why?
How can you ask such a thing? You sound as though you didn't care.
Maybe I don't. But it's very obvious that you do.
You're out of your mind.
Would you faint if anything happened to me? No. But the doctor... That's different.
What are you trying to say? What?
You and the doctor. I found out days ago. You tried to blame me, but I know differently now. I received a letter from someone telling me that you were running around with a certain man. That man was John Elston.
I never heard of such a lie. I haven't seen John in weeks. Who sent you that letter?
I did. But I wasn't referring to John.
You sent it. And who did you mean?
I meant you. You and Elizabeth. You've been seeing each other every day for weeks. You and Elizabeth think you're clever, but you're not.
You sent the letter?
Yes.
And it wasn't John?
No, it was Charles. I've seen them. They've been meeting every day for weeks.
We have been meeting every day for weeks.
You admit it, then?
Certainly, but not for the reason you think.
You're both stupid.
Then why were you meeting?
Charles and I are old friends. And he is an attorney, my attorney. We've been discussing a divorce.
Divorce?
Yes, I was determined to divorce you. But Charles tried to talk me out of it. We've been arguing for weeks.
Certainly. Marge, you're nothing but a silly little troublemaker. I've known that for a long time. Now, maybe you know why I broke off with you, why I stopped seeing you. I wouldn't trust you across the street.
Now do you believe me, Tom? Come in.
Mr. Northcutt. Dr. Elston just died.
Just died? Why, I thought he was dead when you found him on the deck.
So did I. When I got into his stateroom, he regained consciousness for a few moments.
What?
Yes. I saw the wave strike, Mr. Northcutt. And I also saw what happened just before it struck.
Yes, Captain, go on.
This man here is Johnson, one of the crew. He was with me when Dr. Elston regained consciousness. Tell him what the doctor said just before he died, Johnson.
Well, Dr. Elston said that he was walking ahead of Mr. Northcutt as he struck him on the head with something. He fell, and the wave washed him across the deck.
That's right. Then he died. Search, Mr. Northcutt, Johnson.
This is ridiculous. I own this ship.
But I'm the captain. Sorry, Mr. Northcutt.
Oh. Here you are, Captain. A gun.
Mr. Northcutt, you're under arrest.
And you're fired. Both of you.
Yes, Mr. Northcutt, that's to be expected. But not until we tie up in New York. It's quite natural that you'll have no further use for this ship.
after I turn you over to the police.
You're a fool!
Johnson, radio port officials in New York. And ask Mr. Svensson to put about.
Well, Tom, you had a plan, a setup for a perfect crime. But like all so-called perfect crimes, it failed. You jumped to conclusions, worked a little too fast. Marge was wrong in her suspicions, and you followed along without investigating the source of the letter. Now Marge has lost Charles forever, and you have certainly, definitely lost Elizabeth. But you deserve what's coming to you. You planned the cruise with a diabolical purpose, and furthermore, you did not lose your eyesight. That was a hoax, a trick to trap the man. But very soon you will lose your sight, and your hearing, and your speech. In fact, you'll lose all your faculties, because you'll be dead. I know.
Valley 103.1.
Relax, David. There's no hurry to get home.
Who can relax in this mess of traffic? There must be a wreck or something up ahead.
If this keeps up, we'll get caught in the rain.
Yeah, looks like a big storm building up, too. Hey, remember that shortcut?
Which one?
Well, the little tarred road that goes across through Santa Marches and comes out on the other highway.
One we took last summer?
Yeah. I'll turn off there and duck this pileup. I'd like to get as far as possible before that storm hits. Why don't you put out your hand?
David, don't get mad.
Well, he cut right in front of me trying to turn into that gas station.
Maybe he needed gas.
Oh. Turn on the radio, huh? Now, there.
Police this afternoon issued
like
warnings to all residents of Long Island to be on the lookout for Nellie Goller, a middle-aged woman described as dangerous and insane. She escaped this morning from Rescue Mental Hospital after fatally butchering a doctor, a nurse, and a ward attendant with a meat cleaver. This is the same Nellie Goller who a year ago murdered three persons on a Brooklyn street. This station broadcasts
my mother-in-law.
A full description on our regular newscast, which
at least we aren't the only crazy people on Long Island. Why didn't you change it?
I don't want to listen anymore. Let's get home quickly, David. I don't like being out here with that woman running loose.
Uh-oh. Here's the storm. Roll up the windows.
Why don't they put her to sleep instead of just locking her up where she can escape and kill more people?
Hmm? Put who to sleep?
That woman they were talking about on the radio.
Oh, she can't help what she does. She's sick.
What good does that do the people who get chopped up with a meat cleaver?
I don't know. The laws were made before the doctors knew very much about the human mind.
I still don't know much.
Oh, I can see what it is. There's a roadblock up ahead.
What's happened?
I don't know. Cops all over the road.
David, I'll bet they're looking for that crazy woman.
Oh, I guess so.
I'll hold it a minute.
What's up, officer?
Just a checkup, folks. Anything in the back seat?
Only the blanket and the lunchbox.
We went on a picnic.
Yes, ma'am. Seen any hitchhikers?
Nope. Just traffic.
Okay. Move right along, please.
Are you looking for the crazy woman?
Move it along. Let's go.
An answer.
He's busy.
What are you doing?
Listen.
All residents and motorists on Long Island are warned to be on the alert for the escaped insane woman who is somewhere on the island. She is described as tall, broad-shouldered, gray-haired, and rather heavy. She may still be armed with the cleaver. 100 men are searching the area, and they're prepared to shoot on sight. Here's another bulletin on the case, which just came in. Just a few minutes ago, the decapitated bodies of an elderly man and woman were found by police near Center Marches.
They haven't found her yet.
This will get us out of that traffic.
I'll repeat that. The bodies of an elderly couple have just been found in their car near Center Morridge's on a lonely, tarred road. Police are certain they were killed by Nellie Goller, the insane woman now at large. Residents of the area are warned not to open their doors to strangers. Motorists are cautioned to stay off lonely roads and not to pick up any hitchhikers. All persons are asked to be on the lookout for this woman. Oh, here is her description.
They haven't
again.
Caught her yet.
Gray better turn that off, darling.
I thought you wanted to hear it.
Oh, that's
She's
enough.
She's believed
of it.
To be armed right. with the meat cleaver.
This shortcut will save us a lot of time.
You turned off the highway.
Sure, I told you when I did it. We've come over a mile already. Save us a lot of time.
But David, didn't you hear what the radio said about staying off lonely roads?
Well, we only have to go across the other highway. It won't take long.
You sure?
Of course. We go past Center Marches, then take the left road and come out right by the highway bridge.
Center Marches is where she just killed those two people.
Oh, no, no, no. What can happen to us while we're driving? Besides, the whole island is full of men looking for this lunatic. They'll catch him.
Oh.
It's just a storm. Now, come on, quiet down. You're jumping.
I guess I'm silly. David.
What?
The gas gauge says empty.
There's still a couple of gallons left when it points to empty.
How long has it said empty?
Don't know. I'll get gas when we get across to the other highway.
David, I'm scared.
Relax, honey. Rain and wind always make you nervous as a cat.
I wish we'd stayed on the highway.
If I'd known you'd act like this, I would have.
Well, it's not my fault.
It's not mine either. I'm having trouble enough just trying to see through this storm.
David, let's not fight.
Driving through these burned-out woods in this kind of weather is enough to give anyone the willies.
Oh, goodness, it got dark so fast. I can hardly see ahead, even in the headlight.
There's something ahead.
Don't stop, David.
Oh, it's only a sign.
David, the crazy woman could be around here.
I'm not picking up anyone. I just want to know where I am.
Well, don't get out of the car.
I'm not. Calm down. Let's see. Santa Marge is that way. Now, we'll take this road.
Santa Marge's. This must be the road where she killed those people.
Dorothy, please.
Sorry. So jumpy. Turn on the radio. Oh, this is a desolate place. We haven't even passed a house yet. Miles of woods on both sides of it.
It's so dark, we couldn't have seen one if it were there. This rain seems to be getting worse.
David, I'm just sure this is the road where that woman killed those two people.
Oh, now, stop that, Dorothy.
That's why the police had a roadblock by this road. That crazy woman might be any place in these woods.
But not necessarily where we are. Oh.
David, what's the matter?
Oh, that's fine. What a place to run out of gas.
Oh, no! David, you mean we're stuck here?
Yeah, I'm afraid so, for the time being, anyway. I'm sorry, dear.
That crazy woman is in the woods. She'll kill us.
She's nowhere near us.
David, quick. Turn off your headlights.
Why? Did you hear something?
David, I don't know. I don't know, but I'm scared.
I guess I should have got gas.
Oh, turn off the headlights, please.
Why?
She'll see us if you don't.
We won't see her if I do.
Please, David, turn them off.
Oh, now listen, Dorothy. Don't let this silly thing get the better of you.
Oh, just look at the headlights. Poking into darkness, nothing but wet bushes and trees. Rain falling. Please, David.
Oh, all right. There, now they're off. Do you feel better sitting in the dark?
Only the thunder and lightning would stop. And this rain.
Look, Dorothy. There's no sense sitting here all night. It's only a few minutes past 10 o'clock. I'm going to walk up the road a bit. There might be a house or something.
You're
there.
Not going to leave me here. I won't let you go.
But Dorothy, we can't sit here in the middle of nowhere for the rest of the night.
We're safer here than out there. David, she's probably hiding in the woods. She's just waiting for a chance to kill us.
Oh, come on, Dorothy. Why should she be right where we've run out of gas?
Why can't she be here? Please stay in the car.
All right.
Lock the doors from the inside.
Why? What is it?
Now she can't get in here.
She's nowhere near us.
Oh, don't be mad at me, David. I'm so scared.
But if she's out there, she can easily smash the windows.
Oh, don't scare me anymore. I know I'm acting silly. I can't help it.
Oh, no. Come, there's a mom around you. There.
Oh, Dave.
Oh, put your head on my shoulder.
Forgive me, David.
Go ahead and cry. Go on. It'll make you feel better.
Isn't there some popular music?
We're now in search for the escaped insane woman who has killed five persons since fleeing from a Long Island mental hospital. Rain and darkness are hampering the search. Over 100 police are combing the wooded area near Center Moriches. It was near there that an elderly couple were butchered on a lonely, tarred road. In making her escape this morning, the mad woman killed a doctor, nurse, and...
Let's leave it out for a while, huh?
So quiet and lonely here. Wish it were morning.
Look, Dorothy, I'll run up the road. There might be a
house. No, David, please. Listen. Did you hear that?
What? I don't hear anything.
Listen. There he is.
No, I can't. It's a dog. A little dog barking.
Oh, David.
Well, I guess it's only a lost dog. Or maybe there's a house nearby.
Or the crazy one. Oh, David! She's out there!
Something hit the back of the car.
It's her!
Is the door locked on your side?
Yes. Well, what if she breaks the windows? She's got a cleaver.
In that flash of lightning, I saw somebody.
Is it the crazy woman?
I can't tell. She's lying on the road.
Can you see her? Is she still there?
Too dark to see. Have to wait for the lightning. I saw her. She's getting up now.
She'll kill us. She'll kill us.
Calm down.
What is she doing?
I don't know. She must have been running. She didn't see the car and ran right into it.
Help! She's at the window, right next to you.
Oh, my Lord! Look at her! Get away from that window!
David, she's trying to get in the car.
Look at that face and her hair. Go away!
Let me in! I'm not crazy! Don't let her in.
Let me in. Scare her. Go away! Go away! We've got a gun. We'll shoot.
It worked. She's staring at us.
I'm warning you. I'll shoot.
David, she's coming back. Please, don't leave me out here. Please. That woman will kill me. Please. David, take your pipe. Hold it like a gun. It'll look like a gun.
Where is it? Was it in the club compartment?
Here.
Look! I've got a gun! I'm going to shoot!
She's backing away.
Keep going before I start shooting!
She's gone. She disappeared.
We can't get out now. All we can do is sit here all night and wait for help.
Can you see her? Where'd she go?
I don't know. She's out there, though. Probably planning on how to get in this car.
David, what are we going to do? She's the one I know.
She didn't have a cleaver.
She must have dropped it when she ran into the car. Face is all twisted, her hair hanging down.
And she's back there looking for the cleaver now.
She'll kill us. She'll kill us.
Dorothy, stop it.
She'll kill us. David! David! David, she broke the window.
Get away from there. Stay out of the car.
I'm coming in. I can't stand it.
Stay out of
here.
The car. I warn you. I've got a gun.
You wouldn't shoot me. Go away. You're crazy. We know all about you.
I'm not the crazy woman. Believe me. Let me in.
Don't do it, David. She's trying to trick us.
Listen to me, please. I've been running in this awful storm. My car is stuck in the ditch back there.
How far back?
I don't know. It seems like miles. I heard about the crazy woman on the radio. I was afraid to stay in the car alone. Let me in.
No, David.
Go back to your own car.
No. It's so dark and so lonely in this storm. I locked the doors, but I was afraid I could see things and hear things in the darkness. I couldn't stand it anymore. I got out and I ran. It's the rain. That's why I look like this. I'm not the crazy woman.
Dorothy, maybe she isn't the crazy woman. Maybe she's just scared and exhausted.
Let me in. Please, let me in.
No, David, no. She's the one. I know.
This crazy woman had a cleaver. I'm not armed. The three of us will be safer together.
No, she makes sense to me, Dorothy. We would be safer with one more person.
Oh, David, I don't know.
Let me in, please. I'm wet to the skin.
I'm going to unlock the door, Dorothy.
David.
Oh. All right. Now, get in. Oh. Make one move and I'll shoot you.
Oh, it's good to sit down.
All right. Now, there's a blanket on the floor back there. Try and dry yourself off with it.
Oh, the darkness and the rain. There's enough to drive me out of my mind.
Well, just take it easy, lady.
I ran and ran. All I could hear was feet chasing after me, hunting me.
Do you live near here?
Farther out, near Restview. I used to live in Brooklyn.
Restview is the mental hospital.
I know. I'm used to the crazy people, but not a night in a lonely place like this. Not the kind who kill people.
You live at Restview?
No, just near there.
David, we can't sit here not knowing. If we could get to a phone.
A phone? Why?
To call the police. Get some help.
No, don't do that.
Why not? Why don't you want the police?
Oh, I do, but you'd be killed.
What do you mean?
The woman. She'll kill him if he goes away from this car. Oh, there's that dog. You hear it? Somebody's out there.
Well, there must be a house up ahead. Maybe it's barking to be let in.
No. It senses somebody. There's somebody out there. The crazy woman's creeping around out there. Quick! Let's get away!
Look out, David.
Let go of me. Huh? What are you trying to do?
Start the car, quick! We'll get away!
We're out of gas.
Out of gas?
You don't think we parked here for the fun of it, do you?
Oh, such a desolate place to run out of gas.
Stop barking. What does it mean?
You can't just sit here. We gotta get away.
Oh, I'm not a magician, lady. I can't make gasoline out of rain.
Oh, we can't stay here the whole night. You hear me?
Let go of me. There's nothing I can do.
Try something, anything. Don't just sit there.
She's scaring me, David. Stop her.
Cut it out. Cut it out. You'll have us all in hysterics.
All right. I'm sorry. Look, I got an idea. Give me your gun.
What for?
What for? I'll tell you. I want it. Give it to me.
David.
Listen to me. I'm all right, but I can't sit here all night. I'd go crazy.
Give me the gun. I'll go. I won't be afraid of the dark, the noises, the feet following me. I'll go. I promise you.
But give me the gun.
No, now sit down.
Please. I'll go. I promise. I can't stand sitting in the dark like this.
Can't you stop her, David?
I told you to shut up. If you don't, you'll have to get out of the car.
Not into the woods again. Oh, you're nice people, aren't you? Or do you want me to leave so you can shoot me? Is that it?
We're not going to shoot you. We don't have a gun. It's only a pipe.
Dorothy.
A pipe? A smoking pipe?
I'm sorry.
Then you're unarmed.
I'm sorry,
yes,
David.
Dorothy.
Why did you tell me you had a gun?
What difference would it make to you whether I'm armed or not?
I don't know you. Maybe you two are more dangerous than the crazy woman.
I'll tell you what I think. I think you're the crazy woman.
The way you grabbed David when you wanted him to start the car.
Nothing, stop it. Don't excite her.
Don't excite me? Why? Do you think I'm dangerous? An old woman you took into your car, two of you, and you're afraid of me?
I'm not afraid of you. Now sit back in the seat and don't try anything.
David, the storm is stopping. Maybe now is the time. The time for what? What are you going to do? You two are up to something.
Oh, shut up! My wife meant now is the time to go for help.
I did not. I meant now is the time for us to escape. David, can't you see it? She's the one. She'll kill us.
You little...
Oh, stop it. Sit back in that seat.
You haven't got a gun.
No. But I've got a knife.
David!
It's my jackknife. But it's sharp and strong, so don't try any tricks.
All right. Threaten me. Watch me while that woman is out there. All you can do is sit and wait for her to make the next move.
David, she can kill us like that old man and woman. They must have been on the same road. They were in their car, too. They must have let her in.
We'll leave, then. The three of us will walk. We'll stay close together. We'll be quiet. Anyone hiding in the woods won't hear us.
Don't get out of the car, David.
Oh, how will we find our way? It's too dark.
We'll find our way.
Look out there. The road's full of shadows.
Get her out of the car, David. She wants to kill us. Kill you!
Look, if you want to go, why don't you leave? We're going to stay here until some help comes.
Oh, I'd be helpless, alone, if I had a gun or something. Your knife!
Oh, why doesn't somebody come? Where are the police? I can't stand this.
Nobody will come. There's no one in these woods. They're burned out and deserted.
Dorothy, come on, please.
It was your idea to use this road. He wouldn't listen to me and stop for gas.
I couldn't help it. I got lost.
Oh, why don't you do something? Not just sit here waiting. Do something before we're murdered. Are you so helpless?
All right. I am going to do something. I'll go for help.
That's it. Get help. David. In her hand. I saw it in the moonlight. It glittered.
What is it?
Your wife is hysterical.
She was holding it. A long piece of broken glass, long and pointed. See? She doesn't answer. She's just watching us. What is she waiting for?
It's from the broken window. That's where she got it.
So what if I have it? I'm not going to sit here defenseless.
She's going to attack
us. Don't be silly. It was all right for you to have a knife. Why can't I be armed for whatever may come?
Give me that broken glass.
Give it to you. You think I'm crazy? You couldn't protect us from anything.
Oh.
David, what are you doing?
Why are you climbing over the seat?
Warn you. I'm through letting my wife be terrified. Give me that glass.
Stay away from me!
Once I left the car, you were going to butcher my wife. With that broken glass.
No! No!
David! David!
Give me that glass!
You're free! Let me alone!
Hold her, David. Hold her! Don't let her free!
Wrong! Drop my arm!
You'll kill me!
Drop that glass!
You both gone crazy! Trying to kill me!
Like you were going to murder us!
No, I wasn't!
Don't let her get free!
I can't hold her! She's strong!
If you have a knife, then I'll have glass!
David, hold her!
Much longer!
David, I'm not crazy! Please, believe me!
You got my throat! You're choking me!
Your knife! David! Your knife!
David, you killed her. David, you killed her.
I couldn't help it. I didn't mean it.
Oh, you're covered with blood.
She was going to kill us. There's some lights. The car is coming. Help's coming.
Hey there, you in the car. Why are you parked here?
It's the police. At last.
We ran out of gas. The crazy one.
What a night to run out of gas. You couldn't have picked a better spot. What with that woman running around loose?
Officer,
We want to tell you.
A farmer up the road called and said his dog's been barking at something.
We caught her.
Who'd you catch?
A crazy woman. She's in the back seat, dead.
What? No, she's alive. Hurt bad, though.
She was trying to kill us.
Well, we'll get her to a hospital. You two had better come with me. We captured that crazy woman a half hour ago. I don't know who this lady is.
About this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.